Hello there. Hope you had a good weekend. Welcome back to the Bernie Miklas Show on this new week, on this Monday afternoon. And I want to dive right into it today, talk about some Cardinals. Here's the question. I know, I'm sure many of you have wondered this too. All right, the question. What if Chaim Bloom had been put in charge of the Cardinals baseball operation after last season and was empowered to make the decisions that impact the team's direction going into 2025? Well, it's too late for that. Bloom's spending 2025 overseeing the reconstruction of the minor league and player development system, which is absolutely essential to the Cardinals reestablishing themselves as a smart, advanced, forward-thinking, forward vision type of baseball organization that will have a lot of sustained success the way they did it when after Bill DeWitt hired Jeff Luhnow many moons ago. So that's the question that kind of lingers with me as well, because the Cardinals haven't done anything this offseason. I mean, they're trying to trade Nolan Arenado, but they haven't, you know, there's a chance for them that maybe trade some, if they're going to be in a soft rebuild, reset, whatever, they could have traded some assets like Ryan Helsley and Eric Fetty, maybe even a couple other people, you know, to collect future assets that will be with the team for a long time, unlike leaving after this season as free agents. So they haven't done that. They haven't offloaded, you know, trade pieces that really are trade pieces. They haven't done that yet. They haven't added to the roster. And John Mozeliak keeps dropping hints that, oh, we're going to exceed expectations. Oh, we're pretty good. See, we're trying to win, blah, blah, blah. Except they're not really trying to win because they're not making any moves that would serve the cause of winning for 2025. And so, as I mentioned before, John Mozeliak is doing what I'm going to call after the famous children's song. John Mozeliak continues to do the hokey pokey. Puts his right foot in. He takes his right foot out. He puts his right foot in, and then he shakes it all about. He's doing the hokey pokey. I mean, he's doing the hokey pokey. You know, because they're not committed to winning. They're not committing to rebuilding. There we go. The Mozeliak middle, right? So, to quote another musical piece, David Byrne, Talking Heads, same as it ever was, right? Okay, let's move on. So what would happen? There's a lot changing under Chaim Bloom and Rob Serfolio in terms of the minor leagues. And that work is still in progress. I saw somebody write something to the effect, all that's over now. No. It's not over now. There's still a lot of work to do. You don't fix years and years and years of rot and neglect in your player development and minor league system. And then it's like, oh, everything is cured, you know, like in like 6 weeks. It doesn't work that way, okay? And again, the last thing I want to see is John Mozeliak spending more money on the way out, you know, with the payroll. So, you know, this idea, it's like, well, they've already fixed that problem down there. So now it's time to spend some money. Oh, my goodness. No, it's not. Not with Mozeliak spending the money for the umpteenth time. Anyway, but it does make me think, all right, what would it be like if Bloom was, in fact, running the Cardinals this offseason? If, as many of us said at the time, it'd be nice if he would just take over instead of dragging this out with John Mozeliak. So the name of this episode, and I'll try to get through it quickly, is simply, what would Chaim Bloom do, right? Number one, after last season, John Mozeliak said the major league team would take a step back in 2025. That seemed to signal the intention to rebuild, not a complete teardown or anything like that, but just a soft rebuild to ensure that every roster move would be made in advance of 2025 with the team's overall future in mind. In other words, you don't weigh the payroll down with any more bad contracts. You know, you collect future assets, young talent for the future that's going to fit into your plan, or at least the plan that you're trying to sell. To set up the team for better days ahead. So such a plan would include, in my opinion, and you have said this before to you, trading off coveted assets who won't be around after 2025. We're talking about Ryan Helsley and starting pitcher Eric Fetty. They're going to become free agents after the season. The Cardinals are highly unlikely to sign them new extensions. So what's the point of holding on to them unless you are really committed to winning in 2025? Right. Well, if you feel that strong, oh no, we got to hold on to our pitchers. Well, why aren't you doing it? Because you're telling the fans, well, you know, in effect, oh, if we're going to win, we got to hold on to our pitchers. Well, if you do that, then why don't you help the cause by actually making some improvements to the rest of the roster, right? But again, not doing that. one foot in, one foot out, doing the hokey pokey over and over and over again. And Mazalek wants the fans to believe that too, but two fans are too smart for this. They see what he's doing. He wants to give the impression that the Cardinals can still be a winning team, a good team. Hey, maybe even get into the postseason. But also, not committing anything that would strengthen this team that he apparently thinks highly of, as is, right? Doing the hokey pokey, one foot in, put it in, pull it out, put it in, doing the hokey pokey, right in that safe Mazalek middle. So if they're going to be a surprise team, I'm all in favor of that. Well, why don't you go out there and make it even a little better? Give the boys a better chance. But he's not doing that. And he's doing nothing to ensure that the Cardinals will be better than, say an 83-win team. He doesn't want to commit to a soft rebuild and risk losing more fans. But do the Cardinals think that the fans are really going to come back because Mo's keeping, Ryan Helsley, Eric Fetty, and Steven Matz? Come on. Do you really think people are that stupid? I don't think so. Anyway, what would Chaim Bloom do? I think he would do more than play the hokey pokey. I would think that given his Tampa Bay background, Bloom would jump at the opportunity to offload walk-year free pending free agents that don't have a future here and maximize their trade return value while that value is still very high. And I want to make sure I didn't miss a point here. So here, it's in my notes here real quick. So if such a plan to set the Cardinals up better for the future would, in fact, lead to offloading Fetty and Helsley and Steven Matz. And even if you're paying money, the other team money to take on only half of Matz's salary, right? That all fits into this idea of a reset. Given Bloom's background, as I said, in Tampa Bay, I think he would jump at that opportunity to offload some walk-year talent. They're just not going to be here after 2025. So if you ask me, well, what would Chaim Bloom do about Helsley and Fetty? I don't think he would wait until the trade deadline and risk an injury to Helsley and or Fetty or suffer the consequences of a regression by Helsley and or Fetty. I think he would strike when their value is still high. Everything about his background tells us this. Okay, so what would Chaim Bloom do? I don't know it for a fact, but I'm pretty sure he would make those trades, because that's kind of just the way he rolls. And it's the way that they should roll in an organization like the Cardinals, who need to kind of reinvent themselves on the fly here. And you need more and more assets for that. Number two, the Cardinals say they want to create more opportunities for younger players. Heard it. Except they gave a lot of opportunities to younger players already in 2024. I was reading something, I can't remember, where somebody was writing, so, well, this reset isn't a reset. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, I've only been saying that for about 3 months, but plenty of room here. Plenty of room to agree with the obvious. So the Cardinals want to do that in a larger scale in 2025, opportunities for young players. But do you trust it? I don't. Because, and again, pardon my redundancy, this would mean trading veterans to create that playing time for younger players. And also adding even more youth in those trades to increase your overall talent pool inside the organization. But more on point, the Cardinals have some young starting pitchers who are ready to go or will be getting closer to reaching St. Louis in 2025. How can the Cardinals talk about being dedicated to young pitchers and players but still have the starting rotation stocked with older guys? What would Chaim Bloom do? Would he trade Fetty and Steven Matz to open a rotation space for Michael McGreevy? And then early in the season, Quinn Matthews? A little later in the regular season, would Bloom go to Bill DeWitt? And, probably tell DeWitt something he doesn't want to hear, which is, hey, we got to designate Miles Michaelis for assignment because Tink Hintz is ready. And we've got this guy behind him who's just about ready. And, hypothetical, Cooper Jerpy is ready. He's lights out. So we've got to clear some space now. And I recommend that we designate Michaelis for assignment and we eat the rest of the money that's owed to him. Right? See, I think what would Chaim Bloom do? I think he would do all of that in advance. Maybe not the Michaelis part. Hold off on that until they get into the season. But he wouldn't have this thing all clogged up as it stands now going into 2025. Where's the spot for the young pitchers? I know what many of you are going to say. I do. You're going to say, oh, Bernie, but, during the course of a season, you know, you need 20 starting pitchers. I'm exaggerating. No, you do need about maybe 8 or 9. Dane Perry had a suggestion, by the way, and I'm going to talk about this in another video, that the Cardinals go to a 6-man rotation next year. Makes perfect sense. And I know that the Cardinals need to have starting pitching depth. And I know that the youngsters can be part of the mix and it doesn't have to happen right away. But this only goes so far with me. I mean, you can't say you're committed to going with youth and then you hold them back because you want to stay with Fetty, Mats, and Michaelis. Yeah, Mats can be moved to the bullpen, but that's just dodging a problem. That's just rearranging the furniture. I'd rather see the bullpen openings go to younger relievers that you can build around starting in 2026. And the other thing, if they're so committed to Michael McGreevy, is like an opportunity for him, and they always bring his name up, right? If they're so dedicated to that, you know, after the trade deadline last year, after the trade deadline, the Cardinals opened August by losing 12 of 17 games. And at that point, and I did go back and check the standings, at that point, they were done. They had no realistic chance of winning a wild card spot. They were done. This was around August the 20th. So they still had a month and a half, maybe a little less to go to give a guy like McGreevy, who every time they looked at him last year looked great, to give him additional starts that would give him an opportunity in 2024, but also give him a chance to get more acclimated to the majors and be more prepared to go in 2025 at the big league level. Did they do that? No. After they lost 12 out of 17 games to fall out of the race, Miles Michaelis made 7 starts and had a 5.08 ERA, right? McGreevy made 2 starts and he had a 2.77 ERA. Now, if you're not going to go to Miles Michaelis and say, listen, just go sit down for a while. Take it easy on your arm. We really want to see what McGreevy can do. If you weren't going to do that then, which was the ideal time to do that, and I'm not even saying release Michaelis. I'm just saying tell him for now we're going to finish this thing out with McGreevy because we really got to take a look at him. They had a chance to do that, and they didn't. So if some of you ask me, like, well, why are you so distrustful? Well, there's Exhibit A, okay? I just don't trust these people. They say one thing and do another. So anyway, what would Chaim Bloom do? I'd like to think very much, and I do, that he would make room for the coming wave of young pitchers the Cardinals have in their system instead of trying to play it safe in the middle with the team that ranked 22nd in the majors in winning percentage across 2023 and 2024. Here's why I say that. There's a reason why I say that. All of years that Bloom was with the Tampa Bay Rays, all the way through the 2019 season, the Rays ranked 2nd in the majors in wins above replacement, otherwise known as WAR, 2nd in the majors in WAR among rookie pitchers overall, and number 3 in most games started by rookie starting pitchers. That's his background. Serve the youth. Go with the young guys who have talent. And if you think they have talent, they'll deliver for you. They'll provide a lot of value. That's exactly what Tampa Bay did for all those years. Number 3, the Cardinals are sort of rebuilding, sort of trying to win, waffling between 2 directions, doing the hokey pokey. They have not made a trade. They have not made even a moderate level free agent signing. They are holding space in the middle. They're doing the hokey pokey. And I know you're sick of me saying hokey pokey. Sorry. Okay, what would Chaim Bloom do? Listen, this is a tough one for me. I'm not sure. But I think he would have been active in exploring a trade market that goes beyond finding a home for Nolan Arenado. And dare I say that if they still want to trade Nolan Arenado, I believe Chaim Bloom would come up with a creative solution to that. He would think outside the box, pardon the cliche. You know, you include another player that, say, the Boston Red Sox, if that's the team, that they want to close the deal. There's a lot of creative ways to make trades. I think he would have found one that at least would have increased the probability that you can get a trade done for Arenado. But I get it. Everyone's waiting on Alex Bregman. I get it. I do think he would have scooped up a reliever or two by now because there's a ton of them out there. And one thing Chaim Bloom can do is he's very good at recognizing value for the dollar. They don't have to make a big free agent splash. But if he could go to the Cardinals and say, hey, Ryan Fernandez, draft him in that Rule 5 draft. He's got a killer slider. We think he can be really good. You know, a guy like that can find bargain rate relief pitchers who pitch a lot better than that, right? at least you got to give him a chance. So I think he would have done something like that. I think maybe he would be in play for a right-handed bat right now. I could be wrong. And I do know that Bloom is a patient guy. In Boston, he was accused of being too patient. I haven't researched that enough. Whatever. I know that when he was there, he did the job that he was assigned to do, which is to build a great farm system, which he did before they the owner blamed him for trading Mookie Betts, even though the owner ordered him to trade Mookie Betts. You know, that was kind of a weird situation for him. I think this one's a lot more stable. I do know that Bloom's a patient guy, but I do think he would signal through his actions his plan for the Cardinals. And he would go in the direction, even if it's subtle movement in that direction for now, he would go in the direction that he thinks is best for the Cardinals. Here's number four. Why can't Mozeliak consult with Bloom and make moves accordingly? Mozeliak recently had this to say to Derek Gould of STL Today, and I quote, "My ultimate goal was to try to create a pretty clean slate for my successor and the new management team so they would have the ability to do really whatever they wanted to do." I'm sorry, I dropped the impersonation for this one. All right, well, why can't they do that now? I know that Bloom is in charge of the minor leagues and the reconstruction, which is absolutely necessary. The Cardinals have talent in the minor leagues, but the whole thing about the player development system is the development part. You need more than talent. You know how to develop. You have to learn how to develop that talent and give them everything that they need. So he still has a pretty big project at his hands. But this guy researches everything, and he talks to everybody, and he knows where the talent is, and he knows where some hidden finds are and all that stuff. So why can't they do that now? Mozeliak isn't going to make any moves that Bloom opposes. Mozeliak hasn't made any moves like trading, you know, Helsley and Fetty, which Bloom may actually think, yeah, it makes sense. So I find it hard to believe that Bloom's objections are the reason for that. But shouldn't, you know, if you're Mozeliak, don't you go to Bloom and you say, listen, do you think it would be best if we trade Helsley and Fetty? How would that impact you when you take over? I think Bloom would have an interesting answer to that. I really do. It would probably be trade them. You know, this is the time to cash in. And if Mozeliak wanted to make deeper slashes to the major league payroll, I don't see why Bloom would protest that. Because, and here we go, I address that to my payroll. All it is payroll people out there. Because a much smaller payroll, a much, much smaller payroll going into 2026, or going into 2025, pardon me, a much smaller payroll going into 2025 leaves Bloom with a lot more payroll room to work with going into 2026. So he wouldn't be opposed to payroll slashes. I think it'd be the exact opposite. The bottom line, it's a very odd situation. If Mozeliak says he's making decisions based on what is best for the Cardinals, best for the future, I think he's taken half measure steps. I don't think he's really carried through on that. And if Mozeliak, as he told the great Derek Gould, he says he's making decisions that are based on Bloom being able to take over with a clean slate and nothing hanging over him. Well, I don't think he's succeeding with that either. And if he was that worried about it, Mozeliak would just defer to Bloom and let Bloom, in effect, even if it's in the background, make the bigger decisions right now. Maybe that's happening. I doubt it. But the one thought about this that frightens me a little, that was suppose Chaim Bloom would be doing the same stuff that he'd be doing the same stuff that Mo is doing now. Suppose maybe Chaim Bloom would be doing this thing too. I can't believe it. I know. I just refuse to believe that. I don't see Bloom doing the hokey pokey, right? I just don't. I think he would take the Cardinals beginning now. He would start to move them in the direction that he wants them to go. And it doesn't have to be all done at once, because this was set aside as the reset year, right? But you can gradually start to turn that ship in the ocean and get it going in the direction that you want. All right, that'll be enough for me today. What would Chaim Bloom do? I guess we'll never know. Well, we'll know next offseason when he takes over. You all be good. Thank you very much for watching The Bernie Show.